This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Limits, we had quite a night last night, didn't we?
Incredible time.
Yep. We went right around the corner here to, was it Joe Vitale's place, the ex-Penguin?
Yes.
It was Vitale's. Used to be Scolio's, I think. I don't know what's happening. I was very confused. But next thing I knew, you had a plate of chicken parmesan in front of you, didn't you?
And the chicken parm was very good, Joe. And I appreciate you going to dinner with me and taking me to dinner and all that you do for me.
Well, I appreciate you. And then we went to the Robert Morris game last night.
Yes.
And the place was electric. I mean, I'll be honest, I've been to basketball games there before. And, you know, it made a Pirates Tuesday night game look like Mardi Gras, right? I mean, but last night, that building is so perfect, right at about 4,000. And the decibel level and the excitement and the energy inside of it, I was just blown away. I had a great time.
It was awesome. Number one seed in the tournament. That gym, I mean, they set an attendance record at the event center. And the thing about it is, like, since the roof is so low, it keeps the sound in so significantly. They did a really good job designing it. I want to go to a concert there, too, because the sound quality is just great. But good team win for them. We saw a lot of different people. It was great to be able to meet and mingle with a lot of people that were coming up to us at Press Row.
I hadn't seen Benzy since Malzy had hair. He was wonderful, Tim Benz.
It was great to see the amount of media coverage that RMU had last night. It seemed like it was like a Steeler game.
Did you see me meet the Post-Gazette photographer at the end of the night and I didn't know where he worked?
Yes, and he said, yeah, I've worked here for 2 years. Nice to meet you, Joe.
That was incredible.
And we met Steve.
Absolutely. Steve who?
The RMU golf coach.
Oh, him, yeah.
He was awesome giving you tips on your swing.
We're going to go out and play golf with him soon, aren't we?
That's right,
we are.
At least you will play and I will attempt to play.
That's where the Whitfield Championships should be, by the way.
Fully agree.
I mean, it's what a great venue. What a great venue. And it got me to thinking, believe it or not, on the way home, after I tried to take 3 different exits out of the parking lot and you were laughing at me in your car.
I was actually pointing at you while I was laughing, too.
I couldn't get out of the place. That was the only drawback, but it was way more on me than on them.
You could have just, you know, followed me out of the lot.
Yes, I could have, but I wanted to beat you out of the lot. That was my goal, and it went up in flames real quick.
You were swerving all around the lot trying to figure out where the exit was.
It got me to thinking about venues that are perfectly fit to a given, you know, situation, program, whatever. And believe it or not, on the way home, and I can't help that this popped into my mind, I started thinking about a football stadium on Pitt's campus, the oldest topic known to man.
They should have one.
It should be, and I realize all the limitations, but indulge me for a moment, please, before you start texting angry texts to limits. It should be a 40,000-seat stadium that's just perfectly tailored to Pitt, 40, 45, whatever. Not unlike good old Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati. Is that still where they play?
Think
the Bearcats?
So.
because, well, for the obvious reasons, you create a real atmosphere there. It's easy for everybody to get to, and because it's a smaller venue, it's going to be packed and loud. Those are the two things you want. I don't care where you play, what program you are, the goal needs to be packed and loud. That's it. If it takes, you know, if that means a 4,000 seat venue for a playoff game for Robert Morris, fantastic. If you move that same crowd to the Pete, it's like a high school championship game.
Right.
It looks ridiculous, right? But it's perfect for there. 40,000, 35,000, 40,000 people at Pitt in a really cool, like, I don't know. My mind was drifting to all kinds of places, limits. I was thinking of modeling the new place after old Pitt Stadium and what it would be like to have 40,000 in a, you know, a modernized version of Pitt Stadium with some of the accoutrements. Not that they had many there, but it would just look like that from the outside. And what that would be like, I think it would be great.
Like a bowl stadium.
Yes.
Man, I wish, talking, huh? I wish that they still had a bowl-like stadium because it was so cool with the Rose Bowl when I was there. And that type of stadium obviously like doubled the capacity of what a new Pitt Stadium would be like. But I do like that it's just basically one big section that just keeps going up.
Yeah. And the idea that you can't build one, I guess, I don't know. I see around the world or in this country when somebody wants to do something, it seems to me they do it. Yes. If you need to knock down buildings, if you need to invent a space to go to, you do it.
They could find the room. I mean, parking in Oakland is not easy.
Powerful people can do whatever they want is the moral of that story. So, my God, I haven't been able to drive through Oakland in a year anyway because of the Victory Heights project.
And with everything going on with Victory Heights,
they're
the stadium.
They're squeezing that thing in there.
The stadium wouldn't happen for another
15
years.
Could they have squeezed
years.
A stadium in there instead?
No. No way.
Clear out some more buildings limits.
They would have needed to have put the stadium probably...
They're knocking down every building in sight in Oakland anyway.
Maybe where the softball field is, that potentially could have been a place for the stadium.
Well, where would you build it now?
Great question. There are some, I think, vacant houses that are in Oakland. There's like a string
It's going to need to be bigger than a couple of vacant houses.
I'm very aware. But...
How about over by Schenley Park in the Phipps Conservatory, Schenley Park area?
I don't think you're going to tear apart any part of the park. I think that would be a nightmare for the city.
Why?
Community activists or somebody would probably be going against that.
I know. It's probably a terrible idea. I was just thinking and dreaming.
No, I agree.
About what it would be like.
They should have a stadium.
If you agree, where should they build it?
That's the thing. I don't know.
I didn't even say they should. I just said it would be awesome.
No, I think they should. My friends and I have had this argument.
Then you have to come up with a spot.
Let me pull up a map of Oakland. Let's do it right now. Map of Oakland.
I don't want to see. We all know what Oakland is. It's 5 feet long.
Yeah.
It goes from the top of the Cathedral of Learning and a little further before you get to Shadyside and down to where the parkway begins. You can walk it in 4 minutes. That's what Oakland, that's how big Oakland is.
They should have never taken away the original hot dog shop.
They could have built it, the original hot dog shop had maybe 7 people in the building and served hot dogs in those little, did you ever go there?
To the O.
Yeah, the little
been there once.
Circular fries.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I love curly fries.
Me too.
Really good.
And I like them crispy and real salty, even though it's unhealthy. Here's the other thing, limits. And this is in regards to pizza. And I won't name any places. But there's some reputable places around town that have gone to pot. Kind of like the Steelers backfield with LeGarrette Blunt and Le'Veon Bell.
That's so funny, Joe. Oh my gosh.
That was Bob yesterday. Was that Bob from yesterday? Because the pizza's soggy. It's soggy and it's lifeless. There's no place, and they should be ashamed of this. And I think they know who they are out there. You pick up a piece of pizza and it's just, it wilts, like it bends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The pizza should be crisp. You should be able to hold up a piece of pizza and have it just stay straight.
Well, I don't know about that.
I do.
I just don't want it to, like, when I hold it up, completely, like, fall apart and everything, like, fall off of it. Or
it wilts like a wet paper towel. That's not a piece of pizza. That's lazy. They're getting lazy out there. That's all I have to say about that. How are you, Limits? Otherwise, good?
Other than that, I'm doing well, Joe. And I appreciate the fun times that we spent yesterday. It was a very good time.
So do I. It's a big day, or maybe a small day. It's NHL trade deadline day, 3 p.m. deadline. I don't know. Is Kyle Dubas going to surprise us? Is this going to be boring? What's going to happen here? I couldn't help also but thinking on the drive in about Penguins deadlines past and where we are right now. And how awful this team is. You know, I had a couple of people text me this week, like, why don't we talk about the Penguins the way we do about the Steelers? They're right. They're right. I mean, there's this idea, and believe me, the Penguins are in actually a better place than the Steelers because they've sunk to the bottom, and they're sort of quasi-building for the future with Kyle Dubas. I want to see that go full bore. But let's first honor or dishonor what Kyle Dubas has done so far here. This team stinks, and it wasn't designed to stink. This guy did not come in here saying, I'm going to take this franchise to the bottom of the league after a year and a half. He didn't. He came in here and started throwing money around like a drunken sailor, like Mulsey in a craft beer house. Okay? There's this myth out there that the second he arrived, Kyle Dubas was handcuffed. I think a lot of GMs would like to be handcuffed to the tune of throwing $27 million at a goalie who's rotted in the minors for large parts of this season. I think a lot of GMs would like to be handcuffed to the tune of throwing $27 million in 6 years at Ryan Graves, which, as I've said before, is almost a fireable offense. He has one assist. And he's not good defensively. The Penguins in that first Kyle Dubas offseason made the biggest trade in the NHL. A lot of NHL GMs would like to be handcuffed to the tune where your ownership group says, you want Erik Karlsson, who's going to cost you $10 million a year for many years, who's the Norris Trophy winner? You want to get involved in that? Go get him. Go get him. That's what handcuffed Kyle Dubas was able to do in his first offseason. Not to mention, he had free rein to go reshape his bottom six, which, as you remember, was a Ron Hextall problem every year. So he threw money at Riley Smith, F on that one. Threw money at Lars Eller, got rid of him about a year later. Nieto, Chari. Oh, this revisionist history with Kyle Dubas is just something to behold. It really is. This dude came in here trying to win, and not just for 1 year. That's the thing. If he had come in and said, all right, let's try to win this year with Sid. Let's give this one more big shot. No, he brought in guys, the three big ones, Karlsson, Graves, and Jari. Those guys arrived here by way of free agency trade or signing your own guy. To the tune of what, like 14 years and God knows how many millions? Is it pushing 100 when they got here? 70? Something like that? He came in here trying to win for multiple years and then probably realized, you know, by the end of year one, this team stinks. And so does this team in year two. So let's dishonor Kyle Dubas before we move ahead with this alleged rebuild. Let's do that first, okay? This is a terrible team. He's made terrible moves, left and right. He never got the goaltending right in Toronto. He hasn't gotten the goaltending right here. He made a disastrous decision upon visiting Tristan Jarry out in Western Canada. Okay, so Kyle Dubas on his NHL missions is 0 for 2. He went into Toronto. He was already there, got promoted. His mission there was to take a really good team that Lou Lamoriello built, a 105-point team with all the big guys already in-house, the heavy lifting done, except for Tavares, which I think was probably a signing over Dubas's head anyway. And his one mission was to get a very good team to be something more than that, and he failed miserably. He won one playoff series in 5 years. One playoff series, 5 years. Never got the goaltending right. That was the biggest problem of all. So that was mission number one for Kyle Dubas. F. Failed. Couldn't have failed worse unless he had zero playoff wins in 5 years. Then he came here, and we just went through what the mission was here. To throw around big money to sign veterans that he thought were good to multi-year deals to shore up that bottom six and to win. And he has failed miserably. And again, I'd rather fail miserably than fail like the Steelers. I would, which is just in mediocrity land, in the mushy middle, forever. So this is actually a good thing in the end, but it's not like this was the design. So the question now is, what do they do moving forward? What do they do by 3 p.m. today? And the market, I can confidently say, for Rickard Rakell will never, ever be close to what it is now. You've got 10 or more teams rightfully thinking they can win the cup, at least that many. It's one of those years. You have tons of teams. What team couldn't, by the way, use a 30-goal scorer up front, 35-goal scorer? Not just that, but he's not like a rental that you're giving up assets for. You'll have him in the fold for a few more years, 3 more years, I think, at $5 million. So one might say, hey, that's great for the Penguins. You know, a cheap cap hit for a good player, but it's also what makes him more enticing than the average rental. He's the top guy on the market now that Brock Nelson's gone. Certainly for goal scorers, he is, at least that we know of. You know, somebody could surprise us. You look at the Brock Nelson deal from yesterday. You could argue that Brock Nelson's a more valuable asset because he plays a more valuable position. Gives you more of an all-around game. I get that. Okay. But he brought back what is being described as an elite prospect in Cal Ritchie. A first, not Kyle Dubas's mandate, or it's shrine for a terrible team. A top line that's very talented and productive, but also is about a combined minus 70. That's not what he's here for. Okay, we're not looking after the top line or the franchise superstar and all that. We're trying to ensure a better future, a championship future for the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's his mandate. Sid will still have Russ to play with, maybe Gino. Who knows who else? His points per game streak will be fine. He's on pace to do that. He'll get that. He'll set the record, and it's an amazing record. Although I am curious, you know, every time these topics come up, it's like, well, you got to keep Sid happy. You got to give him line mates. What about Gino? Do we need to keep him happy? Does he need a line mate, let alone two? Always is interesting to me how that works. But the mandate here is not to say, hey, we got to keep this top line intact for this team that's sinking toward the bottom of the league and will be there probably again next year too. It's how can I make us better moving forward into the future? And man, when I see the Tampa Bay trade, when I see the Seth Jones trade, when I see the Brock Nelson trade, when I consider that Marcus Pettersson and Drew O'Connor got a first-round pick, and that guy who we all know, Jim Rutherford, God bless him for bringing the cups here, because this is part of what brought the cups here, is that itchy trigger finger. He's still out there. He could use a 35-goal scorer. His team is desperate. Who knows? His job could be at stake. There's a reason they call it swing and miss. That's what Rutherford does. He takes big old swings. Would he take another one here? With the LA Kings? Detroit Red Wings? I could rattle off 10 teams right here. Dubas is said to be asking a King's ransom. Good. I think he can get close to that. We may never know. And if they don't make the trade, I'm sure we'll hear, you know, that the offers just weren't good enough. And I'm not going to believe it. Not in this market. Nope. I'm not. I'm gonna believe one of two things if they don't trade Raquel. One, that they catered to Sid in the top line. Not that Sid would be making those demands. I think it's more of an unspoken thing where Dubas would think he would have to keep Sid happy, as the saying goes. So it would either be that hey, I've got to throw something his way, or B, he thinks he can win sooner than anybody else does. He thinks he can do the old Capitals retool on the fly here and have the Penguins winning again soon, and that Raquel can be a piece of that. Do you believe that? 412-928-9370. I don't. There's too many problems here. Not the least of which is that Dubas, in his career as an NHL GM, seems to be allergic to goalies. And goalies allergic to him. Everything he does turns out wrong. The Penguins also have the problems that they've had now for a few years. Aging, no longer stars, with no movement clauses, and control over their fate. Carlson is that. Gino is that. Rust for now is that. This summer that'll change. What does Dubas do there? So it's quite the conundrum for our friend Kyle Dubas. But I think the time is ripe, and it'll never be more ripe than to trade Raquel right now. And here's the other thing about Raquel. Okay, you want to have him moving forward at a great cap hit of $5 million, this 35-goal score. Man, that sounds great. Except that he's moving into his mid-30s here. And his history tells you that putting back-to-back really good seasons is a challenge. So are you sure you know what you're getting moving forward? Are you sure about that? Because before he got here in 18-19, he had 18 goals in 70 games. 19-20, 15 goals in 65 games. 2021, 9 goals in 52 games. 21-22, he was doing okay, 28 points in 51 games for Anaheim. He comes to the Penguins, he's pretty good, although not great, 4 goals in 19 games. Then he has a really good year in 22-23 with 28 goals and 60 points. Then he comes back last year, he's banged up all year, and he only has 15 and 70. Comes back this year, he's really good. You sure what you're getting moving forward then? At that $5 million cap hit for what probably isn't going to be a good team? Because I'm not.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking NHL trade deadline, what the Penguins may do. I mean, there's just no indication that Raquel is going to be dealt. That's the other thing here. If there was, he would have been scratched the other night, right? I mean, this guy may be the number one player on the market from at this moment until 3 p.m. They've got the number one guy in a desperate seller's market. Buyers are going crazy here. What are we doing? What is he doing? Kyle Dubas. And then I started to look a little deeper into old Tommy Novak, and I'm starting to wonder about him limits. Have you taken a deep dive on Dr. Novak?
And please inform me and enlighten me on Mr. Novak.
Well, here's what Barry Trotz, and you can think that Barry Trotz, you know, that this is the good news or the bad news, that he said this about our friend Tommy Novak. You may think that Trotz is good at what he does or not. So I guess it would, your opinion of this would depend heavily on that. Speaking of Novak last night with Nashville reporters, Trotz said, quote, when he was a fourth line league minimum guy and scoring while getting some sheltered minutes, that fit him just fine. That fit him just fine. You talk about damning with faint praise. Then he says, when you move up the lineup, it's harder to find your space and be productive. If you want to move up the lineup and get paid more, there's more responsibility. He basically just shredded him. Let me repeat that. When he was a fourth-line league minimum guy and scoring while getting some sheltered minutes, that fit him just fine. Wow. Now, in Tommy Novak, they get a guy who's been a healthy scratch this season, a guy they put a little bit of money into. I think it was 3 years, $10.5 million, whatever it was. But he was going to be a center for some of their big boys in Nashville, and he just failed. And more than that, he's going to be 29 next season. I think. Or is it 28? Either way, he's pushing 30. And people are acting like they got some young prospect here or like a 23-year-old on the rise NHL player. They didn't. What's more than that is other than scoring occasionally, what does he do? He's got like four block shots all season, four hits all season. He doesn't kill penalties. He's bad on faceoffs. What does he do? I'm very curious. Like, how are you going to build a third line around this guy? Is that the idea here? I don't get it. He got votes for the Lady Bing last year. Don't they need to change the name of that trophy, Limits? Does anybody want to win the Lady Bing? Do you go home and put that on the shelf and with pride in the trophy room? I won the Lady Bing in 2024.
They should call it the Chandler Bing Award for my favorite Friends character.
I like that, actually.
You like that one, yeah.
They should call it anything but that, the Dave Bing Award, after the old Pistons guard. I mean, I don't know. This has been Team Polite forever. I've often said if the Lady Bing were a team trophy, the Penguins would be a dynasty right now. They would have won, you know, 8 years in a row. What does this guy do? Can somebody tell me? I think he has 4 hits. He's a centerman who doesn't win faceoffs. Do you know how much he plays shorthanded? Average per game? Want to take a guess at his average ice time per game shorthanded?
I'm going to say a minute.
Wrong. 0:00. Even Steven Stamkos averages 1 second of shorthanded ice time there. I don't get this. Now, Luke Shen, you did bring in a guy here. Now you at least have somebody, you know, with a pulse on the back end who's gonna either go after people when they go after Sid or and I should say, you know, rough some people up anyway and be a leader type. I do actually, I kind of like that idea of having a guy like that around. But I think, and by the way, I also wouldn't be surprised if he was repackaged here. I think that the headliner in this deal was Tommy Novak, though, was it not?
I guess. I mean, why would it be centered around Shen? The deal just makes no sense for me on both sides. Like, I feel like they could have got something better for Bunning. They also give up a 4th-round pick in 26. Like, for what value?
Does Michael Bunting not lead this team in power play goals? Am I right about that? Oh, Limitless Wonder?
I'd have to check. I mean,
I thought Michael Bunting gave him stuff they didn't have up front, and I realized he was also inconsistent. That's kind of the bigger theme here, is the Penguins are now saddled with all these guys who are good enough to play in the NHL, but are they any good?
He had 9 power play goals this year, most ever in his career.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the Pirates, they've had this disease for years. They've got, you know, 20 guys who can play in the majors. Jiwon Bae can play in the majors. I'm sure DJ Stewart can. Matt Gorski probably could. So can, you know, half these guys on the Penguins, including Tommy Novak. But are they any good?
Yeah, like quad A players.
Are they any good?
In between the line of being a good major leaguer and
right.
A triple A player.
You know, you just collect these guys and then you're forever auditioning people. That's been the Pirates' way of it for decades, it feels like. Yeah, this Billy Cook, he could play. So could who's the other guy?
Nick York.
Sure, he could play. And DJ Stewart and Matt Gorski and
Derek Hall.
And Andy Rodriguez can play 18 positions. And he can, I was reading about, what is it York? They said he plays 8 positions. Does he play any of them well?
Rotate.
I worry that Kyle Dubas is starting to collect these sorts. You know, and I don't know if you can build a third line around Tommy Novak, a centerman who never hits anybody, can't kill penalties, never wins faceoffs, and gives you marginal offensive production. Maybe I've gone crazy here, Limits. I don't know. Maybe I've gone crazy. We'll ask John Glennon, who's been covering the Predators forever. We're going to ask him at 11:45 about Tommy Novak and see what he has to say. I'm at a loss here. It doesn't seem like they're going to trade Raquel. Carlson acts like he's surprised that anybody's asking about anything. If Carlson were given the choice to go chase a cup or go play golf, what do you think his choice is?
Should be easy.
I mean, I know what I would do, but I'm not getting paid $10 million to play hockey.
That is the one thing I just can't pinpoint. Like, why does Erik Karlsson want to be here? And I know TK mentioned that, you know, maybe it's he just does want to golf and no extra salary in the playoffs, whatever. I just don't get it. From a competitor standpoint.
So Kyle Dubas, the impression that Carlson left the other day was that they've never had a discussion about moving waving his no movement, or moving his no wavement. You don't go up to a guy and say, hey, let's have a discussion here. You know, what teams would you be willing to go to? Is there any scenario in which you'd be willing to waive that? A preliminary discussion? What's he going to do? Call him up at 2:50 today? Say Tampa's on the line?
Could do anything. Like, hey, Eric, you know, it's not working out really well here. We're, last place in our own division. We're not going anywhere. You've been here for 2 years, and we haven't been able to reach the playoffs, let alone win in the playoffs. We're thinking about maybe shipping you somewhere where you might be able to win. Why would he not even be like, oh.
How is that not okay. broached? I don't understand how it's not broached. Maybe it has been, and maybe we got a bad read from Carlson's comments the other day. I don't know. He didn't exactly seem broken up about sending the Leafs in on a breakaway there in the second period and losing the game either. I don't know about this is a disaster. The Carlson thing has been an unmitigated disaster.
This is where, whether it's ownership or Kyle Dubas, just needs to take the reins and say, you know, Eric, this is, we have that tough conversation. This is what we want to do.
It's not a tough conversation.
This is what we got to do to move forward.
It's not even a tough conversation.
It shouldn't be, but it seems like it is for them.
You can leave. You can leave our terrible team, which you've helped make terrible, although we probably don't add that part, and go chase a cup somewhere. And yet, I've been saying all year, why would Carlson want to be here? And now, based on our talk with Tyler Kennedy yesterday, maybe this is the ideal scenario for him. The season ends in early April. I got 4 months off. I made $10 million. This is great. I don't know. Maybe he tries to trade him in the offseason, but to not broach the topic with him? Josh Yoey reporting that teams out there would love to have Erik Karlsson at $8 million, which means the Penguins would have to eat $2 million moving forward. I'd sign up for that in a second. I'd drive him to the airport.
Why is that not doable? I mean, $2 million? Like, when you're considering that, what, San Jose is still picking up $1.5 million?
I don't know if Kyle Dubas, like I said with the Raquel thing, for all I know, he thinks that this can be a quick capital style retooling. And I know that he's accumulated bunches of draft picks in the first three rounds. I know. Do you know what the average time is for a second, even a first, but a second or third round pick to make a dent in the NHL is? Even Sid, who I think is going to play for a while and play great, is going to be gone, long gone by the time guys like that make a dent. Even Jake Guentzel. He was drafted, in the third round, and he sort of rocketed through the system in 2013. So 13, 14, 14, 15, 15, 16, 16, 17. It was four seasons later when he made an impact, when he arrived in the NHL. Five seasons later was his first full year, 5 years. And that's for a guy who almost immediately showed that we made a great pick here. This guy's going to rise and be a good NHL player. So the picks are great. You know, the Tommy Novaks of the world, I don't get it. I really don't. I don't get that deal. Maybe there's more to learn about it moving forward. I do not understand. Someone's going to have to clarify for me. This dude, yes, he turns 28 in April. He's going to turn 29 next season. And people are behaving like they just got a guy who's, you know, in his late teens here. Let's hit the phones for a moment.
Here is Mike in Pittsburgh, wants to talk about the deadline.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
What's up, guys? Hey, I know some of these guys got the no trade movements, but he has to approach some of them. One thing that you guys won't be able to change my mind on is how bad Chris Letang plays. He's constantly pinching, can't get the puck in, so the Pens get stuck on trying to defend a 2-on-1. His passing's horrible. He screens his own goalies. I think that would be one that he can move. Malkin's another one.
No, Malkin's
another one.
He's not going anywhere. Malkin's not going anywhere. Not at this deadline and not in the offseason. He's going to play his final year here. And, you know, all the accolades that will come his way deservedly. And there's something cool about the whole nostalgia thing and celebrating Geno's career there is. But I was wondering this morning, too, just wondering if Geno didn't have a no movement, there's a team out there that would be perfect for him. And that's Tommy Fitzgerald and the New Jersey Devils, who just lost Jack Hughes to injury for the rest of the year. Be perfect. But no, Geno's not going anywhere. But you might be right about Letang. I know Josh Yowie has alluded to this, that Letang is the one of the big three. That, you know, Sid's in a separate category all by himself, of course. Geno's definitely going to play, I think, here one more year, and that'll be it. But Letang, you might be able to entice him with the idea of chasing a cup, or go more specifically, maybe going to Montreal. I don't know if that's chasing a cup, but it's going to Montreal. Maybe. Brian Rust, his no movement clause expires in July, I believe. If only we knew what Kyle Dubas was thinking, what his vision for the franchise was. I think we're going to find out a lot today. Who's next?
Here is Kevin in the car.
What's up, Kevin?
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing today?
We've never been better. What's going on?
So I think everybody's way, all the writers talking about Raquel should be traded. This is the biggest seller's market in the history. If you think about what people are going for, Dumoulin just went for a second round pick. That's craziness.
No, I mean, the market is just overflowing here with assets coming back to the sellers. It's a seller's market. I haven't seen too many that were this favorable in that direction.
Brock Nelson went for a first round, I believe, and a prospect. No, oh, by the way, Dumoulin also went for a prospect.
Yes, Brock Nelson.
Craziness.
He went for a first and a third, and a guy who's being termed as an elite prospect. So we'll see by 3 p.m., and we've got people coming on to talk hockey. We have John Glennon from Nashville, been covering the league forever, at 11:30. We have Sean Gentile from The Athletic. He's a trade grader. He'll be coming on at noon, but we're going to talk a little football next, because the other thing that's happening is some reports said the Steelers were going to make this decision by the end of the week, and last I checked limits, it's the end of the week.
Here we are, and unless it's going to come after the NHL trade deadline and the Steelers want a Friday news dump, which you'd think they'd win when it's your franchise quarterback, or at least next year's quarterback, they'd want everybody to know about and talk about.
Now, I'm assuming that you're keeping tabs, very close tabs, on everything happening.
Very.
And you're not going to let fake Adam Schefter fool you?
No, not this time. Only once has that happened.
What happened with Ron that day? I forgot.
Oh, that was the Levi Wallace trade. Oh, here we go. Joe, we have news. Levi Wallace. This is Adam Schefter. Levi Wallace has been traded to the Bears for a second-round pick. And everybody started laughing at Ron when he read it was like a six-pack. And
I remember that day very well. Like, yeah. Can you find that? I think it's in there somewhere.
I will.
I'm going to try not to get fooled by, because honestly, on Ron's behalf, it is very easy these days to report wrong information based on who reports it. A lot of fake accounts out there on social media.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.